Okay, so now there's so many storms, for example, in America, like, you know, the North Carolina, South Carolina flooding and storms. At what point do we all have to start migrating and living in a different part because that flat is just now the next Pacific Ocean?
I think we haven't gotten to that point yet, but I think it definitely is going to head there eventually. From what we've been seeing with the storms that's been populating, especially in the central states, they're getting worse. And you know, a lot of people have kind of like this false sense of, well, it's just going to pass, whatever else. Can you hear me or can you not hear me? You know, so I personally think we haven't gotten to that point yet, but in the next like 50, 60 years, I know we definitely will have to start thinking about migrating south, especially like with Florida. The way that these storms are going, Florida is sinking. You know, so it's only a matter of time before Florida is going to be underwater. Same thing with New York as well. I know parts of Staten Island where I'm at, it's you could tell the water is definitely rising.
Yeah, like there's like the storms that like blow down the houses, but then there's the sinkholes that are coming out of nowhere. Like they're just so many sinkholes that are just sucking all the houses. So you've got like the floods where there's no landscape, there's no dip for it to like go out. The water will just stay flat. But then you've got the sinkholes, another issue. It's just like everything's fucked. Like there's so much land out there, but yet humans can't build on the land because of regulations and shit. And so we have to like stay in these populated places. But at some point, we're gonna have to move on to other land. Like in England, we've had three storms so far. There's gonna be another one on the weekend. As far as I'm aware, there's never been any more than like two storms in the same, like within a week or so. Now we've got three or four in the same month. And places in where I live, where there's lots of like fields, they are flooding. They're still trying to recover from the floods, but there's more floods. The rivers are overflowing. I've never seen that in my lifetime. And literally, it's going to get worse. There's going to be more storms in South Carolina, more floods in England. We're going to have to migrate to like a mountain so the water just flows off. Otherwise, we're going to be swimming like we're going to be in a beach house in the middle of the beach, the
Now,
ocean.
as far as like as far as the sinkholes, that boils down to just basic land quality, and it's all based on, you know, I think in the mindset of progress, we take for granted the damage we're doing to the soil, you know, and if we're building on soil that isn't firm enough, especially in places like Florida, where you got most of Florida is swampland. Like Disney World is built on a swamp, but they reinforce the land. In some cases, we have all these sinkholes are popping up. It's just basically because I think his building codes were not being properly adhered to. They, you know, with the rush of trying to build all these houses to meet the needs, it's just you know you sac they sacrifice a lot of what of a lot of I guess quality over quantity. So in this case, they're trying to just do so much. So I'm gonna just say quantity over quality. They're trying to do so much, they overlook certain things that are necessary. And the sinkholes now they're getting worse. But I think it's just a matter of that also has a lot to do with the storms, with the ground being so liquefied and being so soft from all the storms. You could build a sandbox and it'll collapse eventually. So.
What's amazing is that when I think of sinkholes, I think of America, right? Because when I go on YouTube, I see all these sinkholes. In England, we don't really hear about sinkholes, but only recently, over the last, say, 2, 3 years, there's becoming more and more sinkholes in England. Now, why is that? That kind of tells me that that's a planet thing. That's not like, where are you on the planet? It seems to be like a planet thing, like, doesn't matter where you are. At this time in history on this planet, the rock in terms of the earth, the molten lava, whatever, it could be heating up underneath again. It could be cooling down and creating issues. But it seems to be a global thing because it's not a coincidence how we've never had sinkholes. America has always had sinkholes, but now England's getting sinkholes as well as America. So something is happening under the earth that we can't even see because we're getting sinkholes and we've never really had them. And that's scary because that means that we don't know what's well, there's like a volcano underground, like millions of miles underground right now, that hasn't really solidified. That could be doing something, right? It could be on
Well, I mean, I don't think it's a case of of the UK never having sinkholes, I think it's just never been advertised because it was never a problem. And it was based on the locations where it was happening. So as the population clearly increases, they're going to start building in places that they never really thought about populating before. And that's when the problem starts to get a little bit more attention. So I don't think it's a matter of your country never having them. I think it was just an issue of it never being identified. And now that it's actually becoming an issue, it's more now of, okay, this needs to be addressed.
So I agree. It's like, so we're not talking about global warming, but for example, when we have all these, when we have all these weather issues, right? Mm-hmm. Is it global warming? We're not getting into that. But when you are building on places because you've run out of places for humans to live and houses to be built, there's a reason why those places aren't, they don't have houses built there. There's a reason why land, you can't build on the land, for example, because it's, you know, too flat, so it will flood. It's in a perfect storm place. There's reasons why we build here as opposed to over there. So if we're building on all the land that wasn't really supposed to be built on, as you said, sinkholes are now occurring. Storms are happening. So it's like if humans weren't on those bits of land where there's a storm, we wouldn't hear about the destruction the storm has made. And therefore, it's to do with, for example, global warming, right? If we didn't build on that bits of land because there was too many humans in the city, you wouldn't hear about the sinkhole. So therefore, there's no disaster. There's no problem. It doesn't exist. It's like it's in the middle of the ocean. We don't know about it. But because humans have been affected, it's been covered by the media, we see that there's a storm. People have died. Must be global warming. So, we're noticing these things because we are now there when we wouldn't normally have been there. So I agree with what you're saying about we're building on places that really we shouldn't be building on.
The whole thing, though, is that you can't discuss one without including the other. So I understand we're not going to really get into the whole global warming thing, but you have to acknowledge the significant part that we have played as a culture in general to facilitate the problems we're having now. You know, if you look at, you know, like I look into a lot of stuff with that particular subject, and I watch a lot of documentaries, and you can't deny the fact that we're experiencing a lot more of these so-called 100-year storms more frequently, especially in the U.S., where, you know, we're completely almost, you know, we're burning fossil fuels at an alarming rate. But I understand we're not going to get into all the global warming thing, but just to kind of touch upon it, it's just that the ferocity of the storms we're having now impacts the land quality, because with the ground getting saturated by all these heavy storms, it doesn't have time enough for it to, you know, especially coming in hurricane season, there's not time for it to dry up. We don't, you know, and infrastructure is kind of weak. So that will kind of add to the whole thing of all these sinkholes and ground quality being trash as it is. So I think it's, like you said, you know, it is steeped in what's the trend right now as far as like with the global warming topic. But also to add to your point, I think we have a lot to do with it based on how we do things. And as far as like with building codes and where we're building, sometimes there are certain parts of the planet that I think need to be left untouched. There are certain places that I think we don't need to build on, but you know, I'm not a politician, and so you know, you got to go with the powers to be.
So sinkholes are based on you see like water as opposed to stuff that's happening naturally underground. So
it's a combination of the two. It's a combination of both, but more so to I agree with you. It's a lot based on what's happening under the ground as far as like with the lava flows under the ground. It weakens, it weakens the soil quality. Some soil quality is just very low and very weak and always meant to build on.
For example, an earthquake, I've never experienced an earthquake. So when somebody says they can feel the ground shaking, I find it hard to fathom what that feels like when the ground's shaking. Like, how can the ground shake?
But it's no fun. It's no fun, trust me.
If there's like an earthquake underground because the plates have knocked whatever, then that's so much vibration and energy that it could literally just fuck up all the soil and all the rock above, and you know, can erode. And then you put some tarmac on top, then that's going to suddenly drop. But as you said, the weather doesn't help. Let's just say that it's weak here and we've built here. That could last quite a while. But if it's rain, then it will weaken it quicker. So it will now sink quicker because of the weather, even though it probably would have sunk in time anyway. So
those problems were, I think, when sinkholes arrive is because the initial warning signs were ignored. Because the ground doesn't just open up and like, oh, by the way, here we go, we're going to take your whole house. No, you start seeing fractures in the concrete. You start seeing, especially if your house is built there, your foundation starts to leak. You start noticing cracks in your foundation. If it's ignored, then over time, Mother Nature will just say, it's okay, if you're not going to listen, I'm going to teach you a harder lesson. And that's what's happening.
The thing. When people build, they're supposed to like drill a massive thing down and make sure that it's all rock and like, you know, all solid. So they either didn't do the checks properly because they were in a rush to put up the houses to make the government happy or whatever to meet housing demands, or we really have no control over nature. And as much as we can do certain checks, if it can fuck up in 10 years, then we can only test it, but we don't know what's going to happen after 10 years. So again, Mother Nature always wins. And it's fascinating when I see like humans trying to be powerful and then nature just does something and gives them the flu and they're out cold. I'm like, you're supposed to be a big, strong, powerful, hard man, and yet you're in bed like with the flu. And it fascinates me that man is only big and big with man. Like,
well, go ahead.
Yeah, like man's only tough with another human. If you put him against a lion, he's nothing. You put him against the nature, he's nothing. Man's only big and strong against another man, he's weaker. It fascinates me.
Well, as far as with people getting sick and everything else, that's just the body's natural defenses. Some people have stronger defenses than others. Me personally, I've never gotten a flu shot. I refuse to get one because my belief is that they're not giving you a shot. They're actually giving you the flu virus so your body can create the antivirus. But what most people fail to realize or they just intentionally ignore is that the body naturally fights its own battles. The body will create its own antibodies. The human body is made to protect itself and defend itself against certain things. A lot of these diseases that will take man down are man-made diseases, like the coronavirus, you know, the other one, the Ebola virus, all man-made viruses, HIV, man-made viruses that the body didn't have time to build. I mean, back in the 1600s, 1800s, where people were dying from like dysentery and, you know, from colds, because the body didn't know how to adapt, but eventually it evolved. And like any great thing, it evolved and it learned and it built a natural defense. Now, nowadays, when you get a cold, if your body's used to it, you could be, you know, you'll have the body naturally will shut down and force you to sleep for a couple hours because you need to regenerate. But with stuff like the coronavirus and all these friggin' million and one different things that are coming up every other day of the week, we can't fight it because it's coming on so fast. That's why I think man is its own worst enemy, because we're too busy creating all these different things to destroy everyone else when we're destroying ourselves in the process.
Absolutely. Like, man creates a problem so man can find a solution to the problem to profit. So have you ever had the flu in your life since, like, you say you don't take the jab. Have you ever had the flu?
Yeah, I've had the flu, and I was out, you know, and like any other cold, I was down for a couple of days and, you know, the usual headaches and fevers, but, you know, my body naturally healed up. Then again, that also is because I'm an active individual. I mean, I'm not a gym rat. You know, I'm 48 years old but I keep active and I don't like staying down for too long. So the second I start feeling any better, I get up, I walk around, you know, that's just how it is. But certain people, when they get sick, it's automatically a vacation for them. They want to stay in bed for a whole week. And so that's like, you're just helping the virus take over. That's just how I look at it. You know, I've had it before. I've had the flu. I've had the cold. I've never had any major viruses. Thank God, knock on wood. But, you know, it's just a lot of the problems that man is trying to fix are problems that man created. And now we're just paying. Now we're paying the price for it.
So I believe I have a strong immune system, and I've never taken the flu jab up until I was 21 or whatever. Never had the flu. And then when I was 22, 23, 24, I was rebuilding my life. I was learning the law of attraction, the power of the mind. I was resetting. I was removing all the shit and the toxic in my life. I started to do the same for my parents. I became the mind of them, teaching them. Also physically, I was there. I had to do all the stuff that they couldn't physically do to build, to get them up to scratch so I can teach them all about why they were in this pattern in the first place. So my immune was basically very weak because I had the energy of three people mentally and spiritually and physically. So I had the flu every single year, but I'd never had it before. Now I thought, okay, maybe because they've taken the flu jab and they've not got the flu, maybe I need to take the flu jab. So I took the flu jab this year, whatever, last year. I haven't got it, but now I'm listening to people like you say that, I'm starting to think the reason why I didn't get the flu is because my immune was so good. And the only reason why I got it is because it was down because I was using a lot of energy teaching them. So actually, I'm not going to take the flu jab next year because I believe that if you take something that's man-made, your body steps down. It's like there can only be one leader. It's either you in charge or I'm in charge. We either fight the flu or that flu jab fights the flu. And over time, well, if you keep taking the jab, your body won't naturally be able to fight a disease because it hasn't fought a disease for so long, it will forget.
Well, it's not that. I think, the flu shot is basically the flu virus they're giving you. And they're giving it to you in the hopes that your body builds up natural antibodies against it. The problem with that is that's a man-made virus control. So they basically made the virus themselves or some form of it, gave it to you so that your body could figure out exactly how to beat it. When naturally your body, if you have a good white blood cell count, your body will naturally start to build defenses and fight it off. It may take a couple of days because that's just the natural order of things. Your body needs time. In order for you to successfully fight off a cold or a flu, your body will force you to rest. It needs you to sleep. It needs you to be at, you know, still so that it could do what it needs to do. But, you know, I think with the flu virus thing, I just think it's just basically, I've never taken it. I refuse to take it. But that's just my thing. It may work for some. It may not work for others. Me personally, I don't see myself being one of those people that will go in there and willingly get myself stuck with a flu, with a flu shot. And again, I don't like needles. So.
So we can fight the flu as opposed to dying. We can fight it. But the flu jab means that technically you won't actually get the symptoms of the flu. So you won't have that period of fighting it. You won't get that period. So are you saying that you'd rather not take the flu jab and occasionally feel flu-y for 5 days as opposed to taking the jab every year and not feeling flu for 5 days at all?
Yeah, because there's no guarantee that there's no guarantee that taking the shot is going to help. I don't even know if I qualify as a flu. The doctor said it was a flu and I went, but I know I've gotten colds, basic colds. A flu is basically an advanced stage of a cold. Like a cold will, you know, go through your system 24 to 48 hours. A flu, 72 to how many other extra hours. But the whole thing, as far as with 5 days, your body just takes time to heal. And it's a different healing time on different people. For if you're younger and you have a lot more, if you a younger age, you can heal faster. For a person my age is 48, my recovery time may be a little bit above average, but it still falls within the same 5 day span. So I think my average time for being sick when it does happen is 2 to 3 days, sometimes less. I can be sick for a couple hours. And then 24 hours later, I'm fine. That's just where my body is.
But do you think that obviously it is going to be split? There's going to be some people doing this and some people doing that. Do you think man is making these things, these solutions to problems, so it can profit? Or is it somewhere along the line, people are doing it for the greater good? Is it one or the other, or do you think it's both?
It's a combination of both. I mean, I think there are some people who are generally doing it with it that's in the best interest of getting people healthier and preventing epidemics and pandemics. Yes. But there are also people, there's really no, if they really wanted to make a lot of money over it, because most companies offer the flu shot for free. So they're not really in it for the money. But, you know, it's the pharmaceutical industry is a multi-billion dollar business. So I don't think the people doing the flu shot are doing it for money. I think they're doing it for the best intentions, and it's all based on how you want to take it. I think it's a good thing they're doing. I personally won't take it though.
It's true. Like you can say like pharmaceuticals are bad. They're trying to get people addicted. It's all about money. It's how you look at it, because not everyone, obviously, if they put money into, like, say, university grants to make a jab, for example, they need to get the money back. But not everyone is doing it for the bad. Like, people put all these big corporations at the top as if they're bad people, and it's split. Not every big company worth millions is doing the same thing. Like, Bill Gates Foundation will give grants for a flu. Well, he's obviously about doing good, but a pharmaceutical company might give money, and their purpose is the profit. So where they sell their jabs, they might charge. But then some companies, like you said, they don't charge. So it's not all the same basket. It's not everyone's, like, all, they're all trying to just make money. It's all circumstantial. There's loads of universities, loads of studies being done. Loads of people need grants. Who gets the grant? Who gives the grant? Government, Bill Gates, fucking whoever. It's all to do with their reasons why they're investing. And you can't put everyone in the same pot.
True. I agree to a degree. I agree to a certain point with that. I mean, as far as in my community, in my areas that I've seen, no one's ever been charging for the flu shot. Other companies may. But I think the general consensus, or the general mode of operation with most companies, is they just give the flu shot for free as a, you know, as a manner of just being a good community brand. It's a good look for their brand. You know, if you want to go to the furthest spectrum and say, you know what, they're giving it for free because they want to control the population, hey, if it makes sense too. So it could go either way.
What's your take on glasses? So, for example, man provides a solution to a problem, right? Makes the problem worse. What's your solution on glasses, right? So you look through glasses, you use the lens of the glass to increase what you can see, so your eye doesn't need to work and move to see things. So now your eye becomes weak, like the immune system, it steps down. It doesn't bother doing anything because the jab's doing it. Do you think
glasses are
making people blinder?
No. Like, the body, as you get older, your body naturally starts to wind down and certain functions are diminished. Some people are born with a need for glasses. It's just based on DNA. You know, if you're a person that has good eyesight from birth up until probably like in your 30s, with the more that we use computers, like computers and cell phones to read and stuff like that, it forces the eye, actually works harder that way because you have to adjust to all this ambient light and the light from the computer and screen. So it does impact your eye a whole lot more. You also got to take into consideration if you have a family history of glaucoma, puts a lot of stress on your eye as well. So eventually you will need to use glasses. Your body will naturally need to rely on other sources to do certain jobs. Now, do glasses make people blinder? I don't think so. If it's all based on if you actually apply it the right way. I know people that need reading glasses that go out and get the strongest type and end up hurting their eyes, you know? So it's a lot of things that we do. If you watch TV, if you like my program director, she has this fucking bad habit of just always having her phone at the dimmest setting. And I'm just like, you're going to go blind. And she's already wearing glasses, so I don't think it makes much of a difference. But, you know, I mean, I wear glasses now because I have to. You know, I came for my checkup, and my doc was like, okay, you know, you don't need glasses to see, you need it to read. So I have transitions, you know, where it's like I could use them for regular driving or whatever else. I could even function without them. But when I need to read something, depending on how close it is to me, I need to wear them. So I just wear it now because it's a lot easier than having to constantly take the reading glasses off. So these are a lot easier. I could function with them. So it's, yeah, but glasses, I don't think glasses make you blind. Stupid shit people do make you blind, but not glasses.
So are you saying, for example, a farmer who's out in the sun all day, no phone, no computer, is going to need glasses when he's your age, for example? Or the reason why you're wearing glasses because of the lifestyle choices, phones, laptops, reading in the dark, stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, the body naturally begins to lose some of its functions as you get older. It's you know, if a farmer's working out in the sun and he's not wearing sunglasses and he's constantly looking up in the sky and like, yeah, you know, all those rays do impact your, it does impact your vision. If you're going from a bright sunshine environment to an indoor environment, your eyes have to adjust. The older you get, the longer time it takes for you to adjust. It's everything. It doesn't matter who you are. eventually you will have to rely on some outside means to either read, and it doesn't matter what age the person is. He could be, I know guys that are like in their 70s that don't need glasses. You know, it's just how certain, it's just how the body is. Some people's bodies function differently than others. Some people's bodies, you know, and again, health takes a lot into it. If you are diabetic, that plays a huge part in your vision. If you have high blood pressure, you know, it's just your lifestyle plays into your vision. So that's just how it is.
Your guys, the 70-year-old people, they don't wear glasses, for example. What do they do or what don't they do? Are they always playing golf or are they always reading a paper? Why do you think they don't wear glasses?
Just healthy, they're healthier individuals. I mean, it, you know, they don't wear glasses on a regular basis. They may wear reading glasses. Some may not need it. It's all, you know, I don't see them doing anything differently. I don't hang out with the crowd that golfs. At least I know people that do golf. I golf on occasion. I'm not that good at it, but I don't hang out with the golfing kind. We, you know, the people I associate with are hardworking individuals. Not to say people who play golf aren't hardworking, but the people I work with are normal 9-to-5ers that, you know, we have regular jobs, we live regular lives, we, you know, we have our families and we do what we have, the different interests, but it's nothing that they're doing differently is the reason why some of them don't or some of them do. It's just, that's just the way nature works. They may just have, you know, a better, or their bodies are some probably just, you know, they don't rely much on certain things, or they don't, you know, they're not on the computer as much as I am, you know? So it could be a multitude of different factors as to why they don't wear glasses and I do. Do I hate them for it? Nah, I don't. I mean, I may make fun of them, like, you know, you're going to go blind soon, but it never happens. So
that's the thing. Like, I agree that if you are living a man-made life, for example, just a bulb, a light bulb, a computer, a book, then that's man-made. You're going to need glasses unless you don't watch TV, you don't turn the light on, you don't read your book. Yeah, you might not need glasses for quite a while. I'm no different. If I'm always indoors on the computer reading, doing puzzles, then that's a man-made thing. The light's fake. I'm not supposed to always be that close because I'm supposed to be looking away. I'm going to need the glasses. But if I just kept outside and kept looking afar to see like there's danger coming like an animal, and then up close lighting the fire, my eyes always working and it wouldn't fuck up like that. Like man used to only live till about say 30, 40 years old. So about my time or your time, for example, you basically, your body back in the day was to start to die, which explains why people like my parents and you, for example, at 40 or whatever, eyes start to go, ears start to go, you start to piss a little bit, you know, it takes longer to flick and stuff. It makes sense. And the reason why we are living older is because our brain is so active all the time. It's always doing something that the brain's keeping the body alive. And the body essentially could have died at 40 years old, which explains why eyesight is going at, say, 40 years old. We can't hear at that age.
The body's not supposed to die at 40. The body dies when the body dies. And whether it's through natural or unnatural reasons, the body doesn't, there's no time stamp on life expectancy. I mean, I understand life expectancy in other countries are higher than it is in the US, but I'm a firm believer in, you know, there is no gauge. Because, I mean, for example, my firstborn son and my lastborn son both wear glasses, you know, and it's not because their body started to die. It's just because, you know, their mother's DNA, on some cases, they need glasses or however else it is. It's a combination of different factors. The body in and of itself is a highly developed functioning tank. That's how I look at it. Like it has its own defenses. The brain is a wonder in and of itself, because you could do so much, and we only use like 10% of our actual brain capacity from what I've read. But as far as like with the way the body dying at 40, I think that's a misconception. The body doesn't die at 40. Your body naturally starts to lose certain functions, but I know people that have lived to 120 and
was is that like many years ago, like Jesus's day, people only lived till about 30, 40 years old, right? As if that was just the life expectancy of humans back then,
No. Back in the biblical times, I mean, if you actually believe the Bible, Moses, Noah was 900 years old. People were living, I mean, life expectancy back then, whether or not it's true, was a lot longer than it is now, because you got to understand something. Back then, there were no TVs. There were no, you know, they did everything by candlelight. They went to bed when the sun went down. You know, they had a nightlife, but their lifestyles were a lot more pure. They ate natural foods. There wasn't processed stuff. So their life expectancy back then could have been as long as it wanted to be. They died because some people got crucified, some people got stoned to death, you got trampled in the wilderness, whatever, but life expectancy back then wasn't 40. I could guarantee you that. You didn't die at 35. Jesus died because he got crucified at 33. Or if you want to believe that, how old he was. But
the Jesus was an example, but that means that what I've learned has been wrong, or you're wrong. I don't know. I'll check my sources again. But I agree.
It could be a combination of different things.
If you look at trees, they can live for thousands of years. If you look at fish in the ocean, big whales and like tortoises and snakes, and they can live for like hundreds, thousands of years. So why are we any different? If we have the right food, the right water, the right light, we should be able to live for as long as anything else lives. Like, there's no reason for us to suddenly die. So, yeah, when you speak about, well, the source I got is that people didn't live for as long as they did back then. It wouldn't make sense if they lived like a more healthy lifestyle than us. But what I was saying is that back then, their brain activity was just minimal. They just had to hunt for food. They would maybe mate and they would build shelter. But nowadays, our brains are so active that we're keeping our body alive longer than we would have done back then, because there's so much to do. Hence why I'm saying that body parts start to sort of die at like 40 years old. If, for example, we did live till 40, and the reason why we live to 80 is because our brain's keeping us alive, and then we're in a wheelchair and like our family's pushing us along because our brain is active, but our bodies are fucked, no?
I definitely agree. No.
But you can understand what I'm saying, right?
I get it. But I don't think it was basically all we did was hunt, eat, mate, and then build huts. You got to understand, you know, I think back then, our brain function back then was a little bit, we were still developing. So we were learning new things. And, you know, people were inventing, they invented fire, they invented the wheel. They were constantly thinking of ways to improve upon their circumstances and situations. So yeah, with the caveman, you know, they probably died a lot quicker because you got to look at the environment they were in. They lived in caves. They didn't always have the best clothing to deal with the weather. And back then, when they had winter, they had winter. It was, you know, it wasn't no like how it is now where you have one day it's 45, next day it's freaking 20. No, back then when you had winter, it was 3 to 4 months of consecutive cold ass weather. So some of them didn't survive it, but they adapted and they learned and they constantly evolved. I don't think now us as humans and what we're capable of doing is helping us grow and stay alive any longer. I mean, the fact that we can take precautions and there's medicines you can take that will slow certain processes down. But eventually, we all have a clock that's running down. It's just some people's clocks go down a lot faster than others.
So, for example, vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin B, zinc, whatever the fuck it is, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Your body can react to those vitamins in a certain way based on if it was a natural thing. So if the sun, if you get a lot of sun, your body reacts in a certain way. If you take a vitamin D tablet, your body should react in a certain way. But if nature takes its course anyway, and as you said, your internal clock takes its course anyway, are these tablets actually doing anything in terms of the long run? Is there any point in taking them?
Yeah, there is some value to taking it. I mean, okay, like vitamin D pills. You know, normally if you're outside, you get your vitamin D from the sun. If you don't get enough vitamin D, it leads to depression, anxiety, because as humans, we're a group-based society. We have to be around other people. I mean, there are some people who function well on their own, but eventually the whole thing is we are a society that needs to be interactive. If you don't get enough vitamin D, you start getting, you know, so it does help. I take gummy vitamins once in a while, you know, but I think it does serve a purpose. Vitamins aren't the problem. I think it's the other stuff that they give you. Like I believe that, you know, you go to the doctor and you leave with 10 more things than you friggin' walked in with, because they always find something. And the medical industry, is their success lies in keeping you sick. There's no profit in the prevention. The profit's, you know, there's no profit in the cure. The money is in prevention, supposedly.
Absolutely agree. Do you think, for example, right, as as people start eating less animals, right, cows, sheep, beef, whatever, that we're either going to go to eating a lot of fish or eating other animals such as snake, lizard, tarantula, koala bears, stuff that you don't normally eat. Which way do you think it's going to go? Fish or eating like an armadillo, or you get what I'm trying to say? Stuff that we would normally eat.
I mean, people eat everything. People eat everything. I've seen National Geographic people. I've seen specials where people eating tarantulas. They're frying it up. So people will eat any and everything.
I mean, like supermarket food, though. So supermarkets won't just stock chicken and beef and lamb. It'll be all fish or tarantula section, snake section, eagle section, emu section.
I don't think they'll ever stop selling meat. We're carnivores by nature. We have to eat meat. There's a lot of health benefits to eating meat. You need red meat because it builds up your iron content and everything else. I've never understood people that were vegans or people that were like, oh, I'm sticking to a plant based lifestyle. All right, man. Last I checked, Jesus didn't say you only had to eat a friggin' twig every once in a while. You know, Jesus ate meat too. They didn't talk about it, but I'm guaranteeing you Jesus went to a few barbecues.
We've only evolved because of like meat, for example. Like we've only got here because we had a lot of nutrients from things other than a fucking leaf. So we forget that, yeah, save the animals, but we only evolved because we had all this protein to like migrate further. Otherwise he would have fucking died out of energy. So you've got to understand the basics of everything. But so do you think that supermarkets will go from, they'll all sell meat, I agree, but do you think other foods will come into play as this vegan culture, whatever, takes over, that it won't be just cows and beef, it'll be, as I said, pingus and emus and stuff that we don't really eat, but it will just go to that. You know what I'm trying to say? Tarantulas.
Yeah, no, I've worked in retail supermarket industries, and I've seen, you know, now you see a lot of like deer meat coming in. You'll see there's sections now for the vegan lifestyle and people who, you know, but it's such a small demographic. And most times they have their own stores they shop in. I personally don't see it being a huge market because you know, they have yet to make, any type of seasoning for fucking plants and twigs. I've never seen soul food seasoning for frigging plants. You see soul food seasoning for meat. So I don't think, I think that's all a trend, because the people who, and this is my own personal belief, and it doesn't represent the beliefs of the show or the staff. I personally believe people who are vegans, they don't live that long. They're the first ones to go.
Like, for example, if you see like the vegan cat, for example, right? You see that cat shriveling up. That cat has only really eaten a mouse. He's not eaten lettuce and peppers and broccoli. Like, he doesn't know what fucking broccoli is. So when you look at what it's doing to a cat, for example, you think, okay, well, surely that is going to be having the same effect on me. Like, for example, if you feed a plant water, it will grow. If you feed it Red Bull or a Powerade or a Coke, it's going to fucking, like, the leaves are going to start to fuck. So when you think about what we're putting in ourselves, for example, Coke, Red Bull and shit like that, our body's going to respond. So if we give ourselves all this vegan shit and we've only become like as big as we are because we used to be small years ago because of all the meat, we realize how important meat is. Maybe not meat, but protein. But most of that has come from meat, for example. And there simply wouldn't be enough nuts on trees to go around to get the protein that we literally rely on a form of mammal. What do you reckon?
No, I agree to a degree. I mean, we're going to be, I mean, if we, for some reason, completely deplete our meat sources, I think man is smart enough to create artificial meat or something that, look, they have tofu that's supposed to taste. And I've had tofu twice in my life, and both times I thought it was the worst thing on the fucking planet. I still think the vegan lifestyle is a complete waste of time. I think people that are vegans are like emotional fucking lesbians. They cry about everything on the freaking planet, and they just, you know, they're like, you just look at them and they get hurt if you tell them something wrong. Like, I can't deal with that bullshit.
So I only spoke because you cut out and I thought you stopped. So repeat,
it's okay.
What you said for the last 10 seconds.
No, I said, I think vegans are crybabies. I personally think that the vegan lifestyle is a complete waste of time, but I mean, I understand it. I just I think there's no need for it. It doesn't prove you're going to live any longer. All you're doing is you're basically depleting your body of the natural stuff it needs to have in it. But that's their choice, and they are allowed to have their choices. I personally don't agree with it.
So yeah, so like most things, like it's all online based, and it seems like it's everywhere and everyone. But then when you look at it in the bigger picture, it's a few people out of like millions. Really, it's nothing. But yeah, the vegan people, you say they're crybabies. I guess you could say that they have a different mindset. They care for animals. So people who need animals, need love, need attention, always need somebody, need a mother figure, whatever. They are weaker in energy. So, you know, they're needy people. And so they have comfort in their cuddly toys and their little dog and their rabbit. And they speak to the rabbit at night time about how this person's bullying them at school. So, you know, they have they're searching for like nurturing, and they see an animal just there and just lovely and soft and giving it love and doesn't harm anyone. So you have like this different feeling towards animals. At the same time, yeah, you could say there is health benefits by eating a certain way, not necessarily cutting out meat, but if you eat more natural foods, then of course that's going to be better than eating a KFC. But it goes into two. So are they crybabies? I can understand what is meant by that. Yeah. But again, if you give a baby a dummy every time it starts to whine, it just always demands that dummy. So if you just surrender to...
Yeah, I mean...
If you give a dog a bone, it's going to come back with a bone. If you keep giving it to him, he's going to keep bringing it back. If the baby cries and mummy comes, baby's going to keep crying, mummy's going to keep coming. So if, for example, the vegan group or whatever starts to put out their beliefs and then people respond, you feel empowered and then you seek it. And it's the same for any type of group, not vegans, but any belief or group. The more they put themselves out there, the more response they get, the more empowered they feel. But in terms of the bigger picture, all these small groups, they're like not even 1% of the population. And it's often in just a certain place, like America, because then you go to like any European country, any Asian country, African country, whatever, they're like, what the fuck is a vegan? Like, what is that? They have no fucking idea. So it seems like, oh, everyone's doing it, but it's a small population in a small group. And it's again, if you focus on something, you see everything. You focus on a room for the brown, you forget the red. And you say, well, how much red was there? I don't know. And then you look again, half of it's red.
Exactly. That's an excellent point. This country kind of gives people the ability to, you know, to form their own ideas and whatnot, which is great. I just, you know, vegans, I've never understood that ideology, because I've dated women that were strict vegetarians and went stricter. And
you got an 8-pack.
I don't have an 8-pack, man.
You got an 8-pack because you weren't getting any, putting on any weight with that lettuce and salad for dinner.
Exactly. You know, and I've dated them, and I found them to be very dull. Very dull. Like, I can't date someone that won't eat a steak or get down on some chicken wings with me. Because if I'm sitting there and you're looking at me like you're starving to death because you haven't had a fucking decent burger in 13 years, then there's no need for us to talk.
It's true. Like, so, I tell my dad, for example, you know, you need to be cautious about what you eat. And he says, if I die, I die happy, aka let me enjoy my chicken biryani, even though it may be fatty. I'm gonna die happy. So imagine that you don't know when you're gonna die, and all you are aware of how you feel right now. How do you feel with your mates having some buffalo wings, right? How do you feel? That's all that matters, as opposed to just feeling shit, feeling deprived, feeling I can't do this, nervous, anxious. Yeah, it's like, do you really feel good right now? So is the benefits of living a healthy life versus a man who dies of a heart attack, who really enjoyed his buffalo wings with his mates, like one laugh, laughter, ha, ha, ha.
I've never known anyone to die wishing they friggin' ate more plants and berries. Everyone that dies either wishes that, you know, they spend more time with family, more time with friends. No one on their deathbed has ever said, oh my God, someone bring me a protein shake, give me a kale salad. You know,
they wish they spent more time at Taco Bell.
Yeah, you know, it's like, listen, man, like, I like I know my time and his plan is winding down. So I'm of the firm belief that I want to die happy. So if it means I got to go to Junior's once in my life and chow down on some friggin' cheesesteak, or go to Buffalo Wild Wings and get busy, all right, cool. I'm going to live my life, because at the end of the day, I want to know that when my time comes, I've lived a full life. I'm not going to be on my deathbed sitting there going, oh, please, someone bring me a kale. Fuck out of here. Like someone bring up, like someone bring me Ricky Lake. That's what I want. I want
it's
Ricky Lake.
It's true. Like, imagine someone on their deathbed and their family come and they say, "Can we get you anything? Yeah, get me a Caesar salad, please, and make sure it's got honey and mustard dressing." They're probably going to be like, "Get me a like fucking Big Mac. Like I'm going to munch on this burger." It's true.
I'd be like, "Get me Ricky Lake
a salad."
That's my death wish. Like, what do you want before you die? I want Ricky Lake on my bed. That's been, I don't care how bald she is, I want Ricky Lake on my bed.
And that's true. As long as, like, eating, if you eat too much, for example, chicken wings, then you might feel shit. And then it's like, okay, I feel really shit. Is it really worth having, like, all these chicken wings in a week? So then you could say, well, I wish I didn't have as much. But having it, like, once a week, for example, and you know it's not really doing anything to your health and you feel good, then that's worth it. Like, if we only have one life and we're just kind of lucky that we got here and evolved to this point, eat like tomorrow you're going to die, because all you have is feeling and awareness of how you feel, and that's what you can control, really.
Exactly. Live your life as if every day is your last day. I mean, look at, you know, at Kobe Bryant. Before he died, he was texting someone to try and help somebody else out. It's a shame he passed away, but that just makes you realize how final things can be. Like, you know, if you could go to bed tonight and I wake up tomorrow morning. So I live my life knowing that, you know what, if this is my last day, I say I love you to the right people, you know, and I'm comfortable with who I am, and I'm happy to live a good life, and you know, that's it. But you can't live your life being afraid of dying or being afraid of not being healthy. I mean, even I know people that have been to the gym. I had a friend that was a gym rat. This guy was in the gym every day, and the fucking guy had died of a heart attack.
Do you reckon that's because of the pressure he put on his heart by lifting up that fucking 100-kilogram bench press thing?
Plus he stopped eating meat. I used to tell him, "You need a burger, bro." He's like, "No, it's not healthy, man. You need to be like me. Look at these abs." I'm like, "Yeah, they're going." I'm like, "Yeah, God's gonna look at you in heaven. Like, you're definitely gonna get him with those abs, bro." Fuck out.
So he died of a heart attack. How old was he?
He was actually a few years younger than me.
Wow. See, yeah, that's the thing. I'm very against gym. I'm for exercise, not excessively like marathons, because our joints aren't supposed to fucking run like that. No wonder we have hip problems, because you're wearing out the joint. But lifting up weights like that, the pressure on your heart, the veins, your body's not supposed to be doing all this motion and movement. And then you're so tight in the pectorals, for example, you can't even reach around to get your cup of tea off the side. So now it's like, I've got big abs, but I can't fucking get my cup of tea. Like, but I can't reach it.
The funniest thing, and I'm glad you brought that up, is, for example, you know who Anthony Joshua is, right?
Yeah, he can't cross his legs or something.
Yeah, he fought David Ruiz. And David Ruiz looked like he just walked out of a Taco Bell and beat Joshua's ass. And that shit had me laughing. And again, look at Deontay Wilder and look at Tyson Fury. Deontay Wilder is this big, brawling-ass black dude. And Tyson Fury looks like he just walked out of some kind of friggin' some
Tyson Fury lost like 15, 20 stone for the fight. He lost so much weight. No. As in, he put on loads of weight when he wanted to die, but then he lost it all for the fight. So it's funny how basically a fat person can just do a few run a few marathons, do some weights, and beat some big black muscly guys. Been gymming every day. It just proves that, like, what we think is real is bollocks. Like, nothing exists, because it's all circumstantial. As you said, like, people could not wear glasses forever. You could have a vegan lifestyle and live longer, but then you go to the gym and die eating fucking salad, and you know.
Exactly. I that's why I'm like, you know what? I've seen dudes that were built like tanks get knocked down by guys that fucking just walked out of McDonald's with a fucking Big Mac in their mouth. So it's size got nothing to do with anything. All that healthy shit. It's like, you know what, man? It's just this, like, life is life, and it's unpredictable. But I just laugh now when I see all these people, you know, and every year it's the same thing. Every New Year's Eve, gyms have this new membership thing. People grab all these memberships and then they don't go. Or you have these guys that are in the gym and they're like, back in the day when I was a dog, I used to fuck the shit out of bitches. Their boyfriends were in the gym, and I didn't have a gym body. I didn't give a fuck. Where's your man? He in the gym. All right, come holler at me. So while he's lifting iron, I'm lifting his chick up.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you don't know when nature is going to strike you down. For example, there's like 100 wolves. One of those wolves might be the unlucky one that gets hit by a lightning bolt. One of those ones, probably the one in the back, is going to get eaten by the other lion. The other lion or whatever that's hunting him. Shit like that in nature, you can't control. Man, for example, a tree falling down on a road, car crash, aeroplane crashing, a terrorist attack. You can't control that either. If you can't control nature, the lightning bolt, unlucky scenario. If you can't control man, Kobe Bryant and the plane, that person had everything. He's going wherever he was going. Shit just suddenly happened and then he died. It means you can't control anything. You could go at any point. You don't know what's around the corner and you just have to do what makes you feel good right now. Forgive people, love people, reach out to people, eat that burger. Don't think, oh, fuck, what if I die in 5 years, have a heart attack? You might not make it tomorrow. Yeah.
Thank you. Fall exactly. On your car.
But exactly. Again, don't have like 10 cheeseburgers in the day because then you might feel shit and that feeling of, oh, I feel good eating the burger might not be worth it.
Very true. It's all about doing things in moderation. You know, sometimes we overdo it. Like my vice is popcorn. I could sit there and eat a whole tub of popcorn and not feel it. Other people is like, you know, look at me like, dude, you're gross. Like, yeah, I don't give a shit. It's popcorn, bro. I'm not sitting here eating a whole tub of ice cream, which I can do if I wanted to. But it's everything is, you know, it's all about moderation. You live and do things in moderation. Every once in a while, it's okay to splurge and go to the extreme. But, you know, it's all based on how it's just you think before you act and you do things within moderation and you just enjoy life.
You know, you've got cinemas where you can have glasses and you can see like the thing coming out to you.
The 3D, yeah.
Obviously, there is AR glasses where you can see it right here, right? But imagine everyone in the cinema had the glasses and had the effects of the wind and the water and the seat moving. Does that mean that cinemas simply won't exist anymore because you can do it at home or because you get the wind and the chair moving? To the cinema.
No, I think going to the movies is one of those great American great experiences anywhere. That is just, it's a good experience to be around other people. You know, it's like you build that sense of community and you go out to the movies and you have fun. And it's an escape from the reality of the shit where we're in right now. So that's why I think that, you know, virtual reality glasses are different because that's like it's a temporary thing that you can live with. The movies, you get to experience different things, different emotions. You get to talk with your friends about, oh, what do you think of this? Like when I do movie reviews sometimes on my own, actually my next podcast is going to be about a movie review. And, you know, it's like, it's the fun of being with other people and building that and being around other people you wouldn't normally hang out with that you like, you walk out, oh man, you seen that movie? And guys like, yeah, you know, I mean, I've been to theaters where you sit there waiting for the previews to start and then you're all bullshit talking with your own little crew. And as the movie's going on, someone says something funny and you're like, yeah, yeah. And then as you leave, yo, you saw that part? Yeah. And then next thing you know, boom, you got a friend you're talking to and you're all, oh, let's meet up next time, go to another movie. So that's how it is. It's a chance to kind of build connections and meet people.
That's the thing. Everyone's on their phones trying to find this connection. And all they have to do is reply to their fucking friend who keeps calling saying, let's go to the cinema. And when you're at that cinema, you realize that was the feeling you were looking for. That hot dog, that I'm just going to go out to get a beer. Do you want one? That chat, that bollocks talk before the trailers, like going out for a food afterwards. That's what we're all longing for. But we're on our phones waiting for this thing to come up that we're looking for. And it's right there. It's your mate. He keeps asking to do something. And you're like, nah, something better will come up. Like, it's not going to be there. Well, like, everyone's missing their life. Again, human connection. As much as technology will take over and there will be 3D glasses where you don't have to go to the cinema, cinemas are always going to be there, just like everything else is always going to be there. It will just, like, die out and the fad will just fade and people get fucking fed up with all this fake bollocks and it will just be like, fuck this phone, let's go and have a walk in the woods.
Yeah, I mean... I think the benefits now of all the bullshit that's going on social media, I think the benefit of it will be that people will get so tired of all the bullshit and the fake ads and the and all the and all the divisive talk, that they'll put their phones down and start actually dealing with people one-on-one. I've said this before, social media was meant to bring us together, but it keeps us further apart. People are now so into their phones that they don't take their heads up. They don't, you know, everyone has this culture of pick up their phone and record. You can see someone in an accident, the first thing they want to do is not help, is record, because they want to have that viral moment. They look, their need for reassurance that, oh yeah, you're trending. It's retarded, man. Like at one point in time, I think I fell into that trap for a little while of wanting to be relevant. But now I'm like, you know what? I don't give a shit. I don't do my podcast for likes. I do it because I think I have something to say that needs to be said. And, you know, some people like it. I've written a bunch of books and I could give them away for free and it wouldn't faze me, because my thing is, as long as you're reading my story and you have a reaction to it, that's better than you just sitting there ignoring it. So
it's like people are searching for God, looking for a sign, and God's right there. He's right there inside. Just speak. We're searching for something that's actually already here. And it's true. We're going to get so pissed off with the lagging on the phone or the button freezes or whatever, that we're going to get so angry that their friend is like canceling on them, for example, that they're going to like throw their phone on the bed, and they're just going to be so fucking angry that they're just going to go out and walk or whatever. And they'll have this human connection and it'll feel so good. And they'll be like, you know what? Fuck him on that phone. I didn't like him anyway. And they'll enjoy that chat with whoever it is down the pub. And then 3 or 4 hours will pass and they would have had such a great time. And they'll be like, man, this was great, man. I really enjoyed you. Let's do it again somehow. And then they'll think back to their phone and how angry they got. And they'll think back to the guy at the pub with the buffalo wings and how great that felt. And they won't be going to the phone to text their friend to go out. They'll go down the pub again because they know he's going to be there and they'll have a real connection. And then when that happens, humans will just start to connect again and phones will start to rot. Apple sales will decline.
Exactly. I think one of the downfalls or the pitfalls of today's society is that they won't have in 10, 15, 20 years when they become grandparents, they won't have the ability to say, oh, let me tell you about the time I did X, Y, and Z, because you know why? It's probably viral somewhere. Like I've told my kids, I did all my stupid shit before the advent of technology. You know, like before we had Facebook and MySpace and everything else. Like the shit I did, thank God no one was recording it back then, because people would have probably made millions off the dumb shit we did back in the day. But you know, now they won't have that. When they get older, they won't have that ability to say, oh, we'll tell you a funny story. Nah, let me just Google what grandpa did fucking back then. So that's it. You know, let me just Google what grandpa did back in 2020 and see, oh, this is the shit you did back? This is the pants you were wearing, grandpa? Like, man, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, so everything's like, you know, most our generation, you know, used to print off photos and you could actually physically have them. Now, everything's on the phone. No space, delete. Fill up, no space, delete. So now what?
Yep.
Where the fuck? What was humans doing in that part? Grandpa, what did you look like at school? I don't know. Why? Well, it was on my phone. Where's your phone? I don't fucking know.
Or they have it on the cloud, you know.
Yeah. Oh, it's on the cloud. What cloud? I don't know either. I can't remember my login details. Or the phone I had with my two-step verification pin. I don't have a phone anymore. So all my fucking photos are on some fucking cloud in the middle of the ocean that Google owns, and that's flooded. So it's like, take my word. I just had a nice hat and some abs. And
that's the problem too. Like, you know, you can't even do, like, even, you know, back when I was, you know, I was growing up and, you know, when I started dating, it was like, oh, you would want a girl to send you a picture. So she'd have to take a picture, have it developed, send it to you. Or you just sit there and like have a visual in mind. Okay, this is what your titties look like. But now with, you know, everyone sending pictures and with the opportunity for shit to get hacked, because that's why I'm kind of glad I'm not a celebrity, because I'm afraid someone's going to hack into my shit and be like, these are the chicks you fucking? Like, yeah.
Damn, he's got a 12-inch, man. Fuck.
Nah, they'll probably be surprised I don't. They'll be like, wow, he didn't lie when you say he likes fat chicks. Like, no, I do. I do.
Yeah, everything is changing, and I do believe that eventually, like, everything resets itself. The universe resets, nature resets. Everything has a way of going back to the basics. There's an Australian fire, the trees burn, new trees sprout. Technology will become so fed up that we will just literally, we'll basically die and become reborn. We'll be like, fuck this stupid phone. And then they'll go speak to grandma, go speak to auntie, go speak to cousin or their neighbor. And then the more you go that way, the further that becomes. And then you'd like, you don't go back, basically. I do think that in the next 10 years, definitely, everything will change. Like, everything will go from, like, everything being controlled by everyone, government, companies, to local stuff, like, locally food, local foods. You'll have your own, like, farm. You'll be locally trading rather than relying on Walmart to come and charge you fucking £2 for a sweet corn. You'll make John, who owns land, will say, just have five. I've got fucking billions. Take five, you know? that has to happen very, very soon.
No, I completely agree. I think eventually someone's going to hit a reset button somewhere and we're just going to go back to, like, all right, let's go back and redo and try to avoid the mistakes we made now. Because if it, you know, it's, I think that's why we are in the situation we are today is because social media, because people were so able to just go in there and create these fake personas. And, you know, in their dating is a disaster, because especially now with everyone using all these filters, you don't know who you're getting. Like, I know women that I know like at my age, still every 5 minutes with a filter, I'm like, yo, I don't know what you look like no more. Like, I can meet you in public and not recognize you because you don't have fucking cat eyes, you don't have bunny ears, your skin ain't that fucking perfect. Yeah, come on now.
Exactly. Like, it's like when the amount of makeup girls wear anyway, you're like, are you the, so there's two exactly. friends, right? Two friends. I'm like, who's Chantel? Is that you? No, it's none of us. Chantel's over there. They all look the fucking same. You take off their makeup, you're like, who the fuck is that? Not only do they wear makeup, now they've got filters on their face, and they've got a filter through the filter and then filter through the makeup. And then you realize Chantel isn't even there. Chantel's a fucking bloke who is secretly
exactly. Chantel
gay,
is Chantel.
And you
is
bought
Charlie.
Into his bullshit.
But you know what, though? There you go. But I know of one guy that got caught out there, but he's dating the chick now. So, you know, that's a whole other topic. Like, I have a friend that's gay, and we have this discussion all the time. And it's all these guys that say they're gay for pay, like the porn stars. No, you're not gay for pay. You're taking the dick because you want to take a dick. Ain't that much fucking broke in the goddamn world? Like, I hate people who sit there, like, especially, and like, we have, he'll show me the messages from these guys, and they're like, oh, I'm straight. But you're in a gay chat room. You can't be straight in a fucking anything that has to do with dick. It's like Malik Yoba. Malik Yoba shot himself in the foot when he came out as being trans attracted, and they want to sit there and go, I'm straight. No, bro. If you juggle balls, you're not straight. If you're banging anything that has a penis, straight is the one word you can't define as yourself. Say you're bisexual. I'll accept that. But don't sit there and go, I'm a heterosexual male. Really? Because I saw a dick by your face.
Yeah. It's like, it's no problem liking cock. It's just that word of liking cock is gay or bisexual if you like both. That's the end of it. Don't be in denial.
But it's only in the black community. And if you notice that, it's only in the black, like, in the white community, white guys could be like, I'm gay, I'm bi, and niggas won't give a fuck. A black dude says he's gay, suddenly the black community fucking comes down, and I never understand that. Like, black people, from my experiences, are the most racist people on the planet to their own. Because the second you have an idea that they don't agree with, they call you a coon, they call you a sellout.
Really?
I hung out in Bensonhurst when Bensonhurst was a racist neighborhood. Never had a problem. I go to Flatbush at 3 a.m, I'm getting robbed, I'm getting stuck up. It's like, you know, but it's just, I think black people are geared to hate it. They're geared to hate each other, but they want to blame everyone else for doing it. They're quick to blame society or the media. Oh, the media wants us to hate each other. No, no one wants you to hate you on time, but you're doing the job for them.
So are you saying that black people, when they have like a cock by their face, as you said, your friend or whatever, that he was saying he's not gay, or people in general? Are you saying specifically black people?
No, he tries to deny it, but then it comes out and it's like he feels a sense of shame. I'm sitting there going, dude, you like what you like. You know, like, why would you base your happiness on what society tells you the norm for black men should be? Fuck it, you know? But the contradiction or the juxtaposition against that is you got black women who have gay black friends and say, oh my God, he's fierce, but then be online complaining about there's no good men. Yeah, okay, there's no good men, but you're just here co-signing your man wearing your panties. Get the fuck out of my face with that bullshit.
Basically, he's eating a burrito and calling it a Big Mac. It's a fucking burrito, my friend.
Thank
That's
you.
A cock
he's
by your
the
mouth.
Burrito the burrito, the guacamole sauce, and the fucking the sour cream.
Yeah. The ass, the cock, and the sperm, the burrito, the fucking, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, you like what you like, you are who you are. At the end of the day, sex is supposed to be enjoyable. If you can't enjoy sex because you're afraid to tell your girl, listen, stick your finger up my ass. Like,
exactly, like, it's the most natural, everything on the fucking planet is based on sex. Even fucking, like, the seed and the earth, that's the connection of, you know, everything is sex. Exactly. So that's fundamental. And someone's not a slut if they like having sex. They just fucking like what's fucking natural.
Well, my ex was a slut. I was going to say, my ex was a hoe. So,
but I bet she liked sex, though, right?
She liked dick if it was attached to a black person. Let's just put it that way.
So she's just enjoying nature and, like, enjoying the feeling of sex.
She's enjoying as much black penis as she possibly can. She was a hoe. I'm sorry. I call it what it is. She was a hoe. If I'm still with you, if I'm with you and you're still fucking talking to niggas that you was having fucking orgies with, you a hoe. So I'll call it what it is.
What if you approve? Does that make her a hoe still?
No, I would still say she's a hoe, because if you're in a relationship, there's certain things you just don't do. You know, you have to respect. Now, mind you, if you and your partner are into that lifestyle where he's okay with you doing it and he gets off on you doing it, hey, by all means.
Absolutely.
God bless you. But if he don't know you're doing the shit you're doing, then you a hoe.
Absolutely. Same thing applies for rules and respect. Rules and respect, communication, trust.
Exactly.
And that's why things go wrong in life, because communication isn't flowing and people are hiding stuff. People would be okay if they knew, because at the end of the day, we've got to be free and love. You can't sacrifice love and freedom. We need both, but you can choose and just communicate. And people are only angry when they don't fight the one you didn't tell them. If you tell them, they can understand, like, man, I've got an anal fetish. If I can't fuck it, fuck your ass. Can I please go and fuck another chick? It's no love. I'm not going to leave you. I just have to get this out of my head. Otherwise, I'm going to cheat and we're going to split. And it's like, okay, no problem. Well, I understand. Whereas
that's a little different, though. I mean, if you're a dude that likes to fuck chicks in the ass and your girl ain't into being ass fucked, then you make certain compromises, you know.
But what I'm saying is that if you really can't get this fetish out of your head, you're either going to cheat and lose her, or she's going to be like, look, I understand. Get this out of your head. I'll be waiting. It's like two choices.
Nah, listen, my shorty ain't into getting fucked in the ass. I've been trying to fuck her in the ass for a minute. I've been trying. Trust me, she got an ass on her that needs it. But I'm not gonna go out and fuck somebody else that got a fat ass because she can't take it. It's like, you know what, fuck it. Hey, I'm, you know, saying she loves me, I love her, that's it. There's certain compromises you make. Now, don't get me wrong, I'll stick a finger up in that motherfucker, but
that's the thing. If she's okay with using somebody else for the anal, would you do it or not?
Nah, I don't think so.
So it's all circumstantial. It's all to like the connection.
I would be like, if she's okay with it, she's joining in. That's my thing. I'm like, yo, if you're okay with it, all right, cool. We're gonna do this together. And she has done that. So perfect. I've been blessed with dating girls that were technically freaks. We're like, all right, yeah, we're gonna do this together.
That is definitely a compromise, as you said. Definitely a compromise. Yeah.
It's like, listen, you can't fuck my ass, but I'll be there when you fuck hers. All right, cool.
It's like, have you seen Adam Sandler when he does his stand up on Netflix? He says, talking about the sticking up a finger up his ass, but it's her sticking a finger up his ass. But the joke is based on he wants to stick a finger up her ass, but he makes it like, you know, like, yeah, you think you're speaking about her, but actually it's about him.
No, I know. Listen, I dated a girl for a while, didn't know she was bisexual, so I happened to catch her. And I was like, my man was like, dude, how the fuck, yo, that's fucked up. I'm like, nah, you know what? I caught her. We spoke about it. She's like, listen, yeah, I kind of like girls too. I'm like, you should have told me. We could have been doing this.
Now I've got all chicks lining up, man, waiting for me.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I know a few bitches that we could have been there.
From day one, do you like anal? Are you bisexual? Fantastic. Or go. Yeah, get it out of the way at the very beginning.
With today's society, you got to make sure that the chick you're dating is actually a chick.
Yes, number one.
I know dudes that put makeup on that give some of these chicks a run for their money, so.
It's true. A lot of these Asian guys, yeah, they're already slim anyway. They're naturally good jawline, pretty. They can easily come across as a female, like Thailand ladyboys, like very convincing. So yeah, you've always got to just check that they've got enough money or they don't actually have any money. Because either way, well, there's an issue here, financial or something. There's a bigger problem.
definitely. But I see from the time on the wall, it's like 4 o'clock over there by where you are, so.
Yeah, do you want to plug anything before we end this?
Well, no, you can definitely check out my show, Control Chaos Podcast. It's on Anchor FM. If you're on Spotify, I'm on Google Play. I'm going to be on iHeartRadio soon, and I'm going to be on Apple Podcasts. But basically, you can check out my Instagram at Control Chaos Cast or at DJ Flavors _ the Mixologist, or you can check me out on Facebook, Daryl DJ Flavors Bishop.
So. Okay, I'm going to end this call. Anything else?
No, but you know, definitely let me know where so I can check out your show.
Cool. I'll just stop this in one sec.